Hare Krishna. Today being Ekadasi, we read from Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. This is Prabhupada, accompanied by 20 disciples, arrived in Madras and immediately took part in a parade through the streets. The parade, led by a decorated elephant and a marching band, followed by the devotees' kirtan, featured Prabhupada riding in an old flower-covered American limousine. Prabhupada stayed at as the guest of Mr. Balu, a Madrasi businessman. For three nights in the large hall, packed with 5,000 people, Prabhupada lectured in English. One evening he told a story from Chaitanya Charitamrita of an illiterate South Indian Brahmana when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized for his staunch devotion to his spiritual master and to Bhagavad Gita. The next morning and each subsequent morning, the Hindu, one of Madras' two leading newspapers, printed a full summary of Prabhupada's lecture. The other principal newspaper gave a more general account of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami's arrival and the parade with his Western followers. The large three-day program was followed by a more select gathering sponsored by Mr. K. Veeraswamy, the Chief Justice of Madras. Attending the function were judges, lawyers and other leading citizens of the city. Several thousand people gathered beneath the open pavilion as Prabhupada spoke about Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami of Vrindavan, who had given up their important government positions to join the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indirectly, Prabhupada was requesting all the attending leaders of Madras to join the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada was aware that his audience, although respectful, was steeped in impersonalism, deep-seated conviction that impersonal Brahman was supreme and that all Hindu gods were equal manifestations of the One. And Prabhupada ended his talk by imploring his audience to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just repeat, he said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His appeal was so urgent and humble that some members of the audience actually repeated aloud, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hindu's editor and publisher, Mr. Kasturi, was in attendance and he printed a detailed summary of Prabhupada's speech in the next day's paper. So, Srila Prabhupada, before Srila Prabhupada went to Chennai, he sent some of his disciples. And then Giriraj Maharaj and all, they were preaching there. Now it is called Chennai, that time it was called Madras. So, Giriraj Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada. He is facing a problem because South India they have this feeling that if they worship Krishna, Krishna will take away everything. Right? So Krishna will take away everything. So that is why they are afraid to worship Krishna. And most of the people in Tamil Nadu, they worship Lord Shiva and the influence of Shankaracharya is very much there. And people are very steeped in impersonalism. So, Giriraj Maharaj and all his associates, so they were having an argument because they were collecting funds through life membership and all. And they are having an argument whether to confront these impersonalists and tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or just keep quiet and take money and forget it. Like that. So some of his other disciples of Prabhupada, they were arguing, no, no, why we should, you know, our main aim is to collect money and send it to Prabhupada. So let us keep quiet, then collect money and send the money. And why confront, you know, there are so many of them, all these impersonalists, like that. So Giriraj Maharaj had another view, said why we should keep quiet. So, meanwhile, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that this is our dilemma. What we should do when we confront this impersonalist? So, he was waiting for the reply. Meanwhile, Giriraj Maharaj went to meet one very rich gentleman in Chennai. So, he started arguing with Giriraj Maharaj saying that, why you people don't mention Shankaracharya is such a great acharya? Why you don't mention so much about Shankaracharya in your books? Giriraj Maharaj said, it's not like that. He quoted one sentence, you know, Narayana Para Avyaktat. Prabhupada quoted many times Shankaracharya. No, but Shankaracharya was such a great man. You know, you should quote him more often. Then he started preaching Mayavad philosophy. You know. So Giriraj Maharaj was thinking to keep quiet. Because by the time, you know, he spread out of the books and then he explained about life membership, if you pay so much money and all that stuff. Then, but he started arguing, that man. So Giriraj Maharaj was keeping quiet, said, you know, why to argue with him? Why to argue with him? If you argue with him, then he will not give money. Like that. So, but he went on, then he could not contain himself. Then he is a very scholarly person, Maharaj. So he defeated, you know, that gentleman very thoroughly, quoting from Prabhupada books, Lord Chaitanya's, you know, Golden Avatar book and all that stuff. Then he felt that, you know, he will not become member because it defeated him very thoroughly. Then he closed all the books. Then he got up. Then he was ready to go. Then that gentleman called Giriraj Maharaj back. He said, come with me. I will show you something. Then he took him to his puja room. Then he opened the curtain. You know. Then there are beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna. Then he said, actually, I am a devotee of Krishna. I am just testing you how much you are, you know, convinced of Vaishnava philosophy. I am very happy that, you know, you are so thoroughly, you know, defeated me. Come, you know, I will fill up the form. You know, so he became a life member. So later on, when Maharaj came back that day, then he received a letter from Srila Prabhupada. Then Srila Prabhupada replied, regarding your question, dilemma about, you know, defeating the Mayavadis. Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava never misses the opportunity to defeat a Mayavadi. You know, and unfortunately, I am the only one in India nowadays. You know, so that was a very good, you know, anecdote from Chennai days, like that. In addition to the usual news coverage, Srila Prabhupada held a press conference at a Madras hotel. Already happy with the press coverage, he appealed further to the room full of reporters. Giriraj, Prabhupada wasn't speaking to them as if they were newspaper reporters. Usually a newspaper reporter has a stereotyped idea of who he is and you giving an interview. So you have your stereotyped idea of who you are and you answer this question thinking how it will be published. But I could see that Prabhupada was speaking to these reporters as spirit souls, as individual persons who are meant to be devotees of Krishna. Even though they were addressing him as newspaper reporters, he was answering them in a completely different way. He was encouraging them and saying, this reporting that you have done is very nice. Krishna will bless you. Please help spread this movement. They were asking questions, thinking of his answers in terms of something to publish in the newspaper. But Prabhupada took it that they were spirit souls reaching out towards Krishna consciousness. And he answered in that way. Within a few days of Prabhupada's arrival, the whole city was feeling the presence of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada scarcely slept using the early morning hours for translating, even after his late night speaking engagements. He would go from place to place all day with great vitality, outdoing his young followers. Prabhupada's host, Mr. Balu, although a prominent businessman, was also well known as a religious man. He received Prabhupada warmly and respectfully, according to proper Vedic etiquette. Prabhupada noted that Mr. Balu had his own temple with beautiful Radha Krishna deities and a large tulsi plant. When the devotees accompanying Srila Prabhupada asked Mr. Balu why the devotees were often dressed in black, he replied that they were so affluent that if he didn't dress them in black, he would not be able to look on them. He did not make prostrate obeisances in his deity because he and his wife were Krishna's father and mother, he said. And how can the father pay obeisances to his son? Prabhupada and his host related to each other graciously. But one night, Mr. Balu and his wife came to Prabhupada and asked him to please speak about the Rasleela of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada replied that Rasleela, being the most exalted spiritual topic, was meant only for liberated souls. Only one completely free of material desires, Prabhupada explained, was fit to hear the Rasleela. No, Swamiji, Mr. Balu insisted. My wife and I are very keen. You must recite Rasleela. Again, Prabhupada described the exalted position of the Rasa dance, repeating that only when one is completely free from all material attachments to wife, family, home and money, could he become fit to hear of Krishna's Rasa dance. Mr. Balu then folded his hands and politely repeated, Swamiji, my wife and I plead with you. Please recite Rasleela. Then Prabhupada replied, well, you may be fit to hear Rasleela, but I do not feel that I am qualified to speak it. So kindly ask someone else. Prabhupada met privately with various important citizens of Madras. If the leaders of society became Krishna conscious, he would explain, then they, by their example, would create Krishna consciousness in the general populace. Never compromising, never flattering his important visitors, he tried to impart Krishna consciousness to whomever he met. He met with the governor of Madras, K.K. Shah, a staunch Mayavadi and follower of Shankaracharya. Patiently, Prabhupada tried to teach him Krishna consciousness, but the governor would interrupt with his own philosophy. When Prabhupada asked him to somehow help the Krishna consciousness movement, the man replied that as governor, there was nothing he could do, since everything was in the hands of the chief minister. Residing in Madras was an elderly scholar and former leading politician who had written several books and translation of Vedic philosophy from the impersonalist point of view. Prabhupada visited him, but the man was paralyzed and could only sit, trembling, without speaking. Prabhupada spoke for some time about personalism in the Gita. The old scholar sometimes responded with a glimmer in his eyes, but he could only make incoherent sounds. Previously, Prabhupada had criticized this man's translation of the Gita, which declares that although Krishna says surrender unto him, we don't actually have to surrender unto the person Krishna, but the impersonal, eternal principle within Krishna. The meeting seemed to have a strong effect on Srila Prabhupada, and for days afterwards, he would sometimes soberly mention how the old Mayavadi scholar was living almost like a vegetable. You know the name of that person? Huh? Anybody knows? Huh? No. Come on, nobody knows? Sarvepalli Radha Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, he was using his book only for translation. Before 1970, he printed Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's own Bhagavad Gita. He was using Sarvepalli Radha Krishna's translated English translation. He said his translations are perfect, but his commentaries are bogus. Then he was the one who wrote, 9th chapter, last verse, Manmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. He says that, you don't have to surrender to Krishna, the eternal principle within him. Right? He was the one. Then this man, he was very famous, Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan. he was a former president of India. Also, he wrote books on six philosophy, Shaddarshana. And his books are used as textbooks all over the world on Shaddarshana. So unfortunate. And some of our devotees, they are studying MA philosophy. They have to study these books. Now Prabhupada met. Srila Prabhupada also met with V. Rajagopal Achari, Rajaji, who had been India's first chief executive after independence. A friend of Mahatma Gandhi, Rajaji was high in the public sentiment as a religious politician. Although in his 90s, he was alert and very sympathetic to Prabhupada's movement. If you see Srila Prabhupada's condition in his last days and Mr. Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan's condition. So Srila Prabhupada one day, he told Abhiram Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu was taking care of Srila Prabhupada in his last days. One day, Srila Prabhupada asked Abhiram Prabhu, because he was cleaning his toilet and all, so he asked, "Don't you hate this?" He said, "No, Prabhupada, I consider your body as my body. So I don't hate this. But in all these dirty things you are doing," he was very young man that time, 24, 25. Then Abhiram Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, if I'm not serving you, I'll be serving Maya." Then he said, "Okay." So Prabhupada gave him a chance. So one day, Prabhupada tapped him on his back. He said, "Abhiram, are you hearing?" He was doing something. "Yes, Prabhupada." "No, you just concentrate what I'm saying." Then Prabhupada told him, "Whatever may be the circumstances, don't take me to the hospital. I don't want to die with the tubes in my nose and, unconscious, in coma." Prabhupada told him, "As an acharya, they will discuss about my departure after I leave. So I should set a perfect example for that also. They should not think, that I left body in unconscious state. So whatever it is, don't take me to the hospital." Like that, Prabhupada told him. So, in his last days, when the one physician, Ayurvedic physician, they brought him from Calcutta, very famous Ayurvedic doctor. So, when he checked his pulse, he said the condition he was in, so this personality, he was completely transcendental personality. His consciousness is completely transcendental. He has no disease. He told him. He said, so Prabhupada, Bhaktichar Maharaj once, he told that sometimes he would open his mouth to put some medicine. So he would see Prabhupada's tongue constantly chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." So in a perfect Krishna consciousness, so, Prabhupada was like that. So one day Prabhupada was joking with, so Abhiram Prabhu and Prabhupada would joke. So once Prabhupada, he was lifting Prabhupada, just like this, because he was only simply bones, like that. And then, so what's the big deal? You are a young man, I am old man, you are lifting me. Then Abhiram Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, you are Hiranyakashipu." Said, Prabhupada was surprised. How is he saying like that? Then Abhiram Prabhu joked, "Prabhupada, you are just like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu also was living in bones." So Prabhupada laughed. Like that. So this is a Vaishnava, like that. So Prabhupada told, this Mayavadi, Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan, so such a sorry death he had, he had to meet, that so like a vegetable he was living, without any proper consciousness and all. If you see Prabhupada's last days of video, you know, prakriti, you know, sadasat janma yonishu, karanam gunasangasya, sadasat janma yonishu, you know, Prabhupada quoted this verse. And then he said, this is, you know, Krishna consciousness. Like that, you know, Prabhupada was explaining. And he was, if you read first 10th canto Bhagavatam, you know, first part, you'll be amazed. You know, such wonderful purports Prabhupada wrote. You know, we usually don't read, you know, 10th canto Bhagavatam, first part, because we are reading Krishna book. But other day I was reading, you know, 10th canto part 1. And such wonderful purports Prabhupada wrote. And he wrote in his last days. Such clear and wonderful purports. You know, this is Krishna's blessings on Vaishnavas. Like that. Rajaji expressed only one doubt. Prabhupada had created such a huge institution that now his disciples might identify with the institution rather than with Krishna. If that were to happen, then by identifying with the institution, they would again fall into the same type of materialism or false identification as before. Prabhupada replied that because Krishna is absolute, Krishna and Krishna's institutions are non-different. To identify with Krishna's institution was to identify with Krishna directly. Rajaji was satisfied by Prabhupada's answer, and after a pleasant conversation, the two friends parted. Once Srila Prabhupada was saying, Guru Kripa Maharaj said, you should work in ISKCON, Prabhupada, you know, you should cooperate with all the devotees. So Guru Kripa Maharaj says, Prabhupada, I love you, but I don't like ISKCON. Prabhupada said, no, ISKCON is my body. You know? Prabhupada received an invitation to Chief Justice Veeraswami's home. The two became friends, and the Chief Justice requested to join the Krishna Consciousness Movement as soon as possible. He liked Prabhupada's followers, especially 3-year-old Saraswati, and gave her a 6-inch silver murti of Krishna playing with the flute. Another evening, Mr. Veeraswami came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada mentioned that he thought Saraswati too young to have such a valuable silver murti, that he had taken it from her and was going to give her another one. But while they were talking, Saraswati burst into the room and ran to her mother, crying, Krishna is gone. Srila Prabhupada then called her forward and asked, Saraswati, where is Krishna? In anxiety, Saraswati replied, I don't know, someone took him. Prabhupada repeated, but where is Krishna? Saraswati replied, I don't know. Is he under the cushion? Prabhupada suggested. And Saraswati ran over to the cushion Prabhupada pointed to. She picked it up, but Krishna was not there. Is he on the shelf? Prabhupada asked. Saraswati ran to the shelf. Her eyes darted in all directions. Where is Krishna? Saraswati began appealing to the faces of the devotees, placing at their hands, looking behind their backs, searching everywhere. Prabhupada, intently watching Saraswati, began reciting a verse about the 6 Goswamis. He Radhe Vrajadevike cha Lalite, He Nandasuno Kutaha. This is the mood of the Goswamis, he said. They never said, now I have seen God, now I am satisfied. No, rather they were saying, where is Radha? Where is Krishna? Where are you all now? Are you on Govardhana? Are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? In this way, they expressed their moods of Krishna consciousness. Saraswati's anxiety had become heightened to the point of tears. One of the devotees then hinted, Saraswati, where is Krishna? Who has Krishna? Saraswati's eyes widened. She explained, Prabhupada has Krishna. And she refused. Then she rushed up to Prabhupada, convinced that he was holding Krishna. And Prabhupada reached behind his seat and pulled out a small Krishna murti similar to the silver Krishna he had taken from her. Here is Krishna, Saraswati. Prabhupada said, Saraswati was in ecstasy. All the devotees were struck by Prabhupada's exchange of devotional feelings with even a small child. By his expertise, he had created within her a mood of separation from Krishna. Prabhupada continued explaining to the Chief Justice about the mood of separation from Krishna. Right? So who has Krishna? Prabhupada has Krishna. Once Brahmananda Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, will we be able to meet you in Golok Vrindavan also? Prabhupada said, devotees from Vaikunthavasis, when devotees from Vaikuntha visit Golok Vrindavan, then when they see us, they will comment, "Oh, such a nice spiritual master, such nice disciples." For centuries, certain religious and social controversies had divided Madras, and Prabhupada often addressed these issues. One conflict was between Brahmanas and the non-Brahmanas. Because those born in Brahmin families had traditionally monopolized the important governmental, social and religious posts, the non-Brahmanas had developed a powerful political opposition, passing laws banning such things as religious pictures. In their mundane political conception of the sacred Ramayana, they had even committed offense to the deities of Lord Ram. In talking with his disciples, Srila Prabhupada said, "The Chief Justice is Brahmana. I don't think so. He may be a Kshatriya. But you can tell him that we can solve the whole problem between the Brahmanas and the non-Brahmanas. We'll give facility that anyone can become a Brahmana. He simply has to follow our principles and we'll make him a Brahmana." Prabhupada said, "Shastra says that in Kali Yuga, the demons will take birth as Brahmanas. Thus, this deep controversy. The so-called Brahmanas, the leaders, were not satisfying the people. Prabhupada said that anyone who followed the four regulative principles, chanted Hare Krishna and took Vaishnava initiation could become a Brahmana, and that would solve the whole problem." In Madhva Vijaya it is mentioned that the demons who are, there are so many demons killed by Lord Krishna and Balaram. Right? One devotee was saying that why Krishna did not kill Jarasandha immediately, because without him going to here and there, he was bringing all the demons. Then he was killing all of them. Then Jarasandha, he would leave, go and bring again. So Jarasandha would go back, collect some more demons, and Krishna and Balaram again kill them. Like that 17 times, I think, 16 times. So like that, he killed so many of the demons like this, just sitting in Mathura. Like that. So it is mentioned that even Prabhupada also told that all the demons who are left over by not killing in Dwapar Yuga, all those demons have taken birth in Kali Yuga as Brahmanas. So if somebody is born in Brahmin family, they don't have to be proud. That means in their last life they are demons left out by Krishna. Like that. So that's why they are very attracted to Mayavada philosophy. Right? So very interesting. So up to, as long as Pandava kings were ruling even in Kali Yuga, the Vaishnavism was there, and then Brahmanas were forced to follow all Vedas and all. So when Buddha was born, as soon as he was born, he was laughing. Said the father, his father and all of them, they asked, "Why are you laughing?" Said, "You also follow all these Vedas and all these Vedas and all?" Said, "Why? Yeah, we follow." No, I don't have faith in Vedavyas and all these books and all. Huh, really? Then they all came out. Yeah, actually, you know, we also don't believe, but because the king and all, they were saying, we are forcibly following. And is there any other way out not to follow Vedas? Yeah, Vedas and all, they are bogus, you know. You don't follow them. That's why his name, Buddha, you know, Buddha means, you know, intelligent. Oh, you are very intelligent. That's why they gave him the name, Buddha. Right? So like that, this is all these Brahmanas, they were diverted from Vaishnavism. Like that. They should begin, Prabhupada said, by making Chief Justice Veeraswami a Brahmana. Mr. Veeraswami admitted that he was already eager to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. His only difficulty was giving up tea drinking. When Prabhupada heard this, he said that even if the justice did drink a little tea, he would accept him as an exceptional case. You don't follow, huh? Some of Madras caste-conscious Brahmanas criticized Srila Prabhupada creating Brahmanas from low-born Vaishnavas. During a gathering at the home of a Madrasi Brahmana, one of the guests commented to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, your disciples don't pronounce the Sanskrit very nicely. Even the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they sometimes do not say correctly." "Yes," Prabhupada replied, "that is why we have come here, to get your association, as you can teach us." Srila Prabhupada encountered another long-standing South Indian feud between the Shaivites and the Vaishnava followers. The Shaivites generally espoused an impersonalistic philosophy, declaring God to be impersonal one, appearing in many forms such as Shiva and Krishna. But since all the forms were one, ultimately fighting as to which God was best was petty and childish. Prabhupada's disciples found this philosophy difficult to deal with. And when Giriraja had argued with a wealthy Shaivite, Mr. Ramakrishna, they had separated with hurt feelings. But in meeting with other person in Madras, Giriraja was often reminded, "Have you met Mr. Ramakrishna? He is a very good man and leader in religious functions." Giriraj became embarrassed and decided to make another attempt to win Mr. Ramakrishna's friendship. They talked again but remained unsatisfied. Giriraja then informed Prabhupada and asked he would meet Mr. Ramakrishna himself. Prabhupada agreed. When they met, Mr. Ramakrishna began by saying, "Swamiji, we have been having some discussion about devotion to Lord Krishna and devotion to Lord Shiva. What do you say? Who is greater, Krishna or Shiva?" Prabhupada replied that actually the word bhakti or devotion could not properly be applied to the worship of Lord Shiva. Bhakti, he said, meant service without any material desire, whereas puja included service with the desire for some return. Bhakti, therefore, could only be applied to Krishna. "But isn't it possible," asked Mr. Ramakrishna, "for someone to be a bhakta of Lord Shiva and to worship Lord Shiva simply out of devotion, without desiring any material benefit?" "It may be possible," Prabhupada replied, "but generally not. Just like when a person enters a liquor shop, generally it is taken that he is going for drinking. Although, there may be some exception." Prabhupada gave the example of the gopis' worship of the goddess Katyayani. Their worship had not been for material benefit, but not for devotion to Krishna. But for devotion to Krishna. Similarly, if one worshipped Lord Shiva with the aim of serving Lord Krishna, that would be bhakti. But people generally approach Shiva for material benefit. Although Mr. Ramakrishna was usually prone to argue these points, Prabhupada's answer satisfied him. Usually these people, they quote, you know, Akasham Patitam Toyam, some verses there, where they say everything, you know, all the worship goes to Krishna. Right? Whomever you worship, just like all the rivers enter the ocean. Like that, whomever you worship, all the worship goes to Krishna. Right? But we don't agree that. You know, anybody knows how to defeat that argument? How do you defeat that argument? No, they are saying, just like all the rivers go to the ocean, like that, all the worship goes to Lord Krishna. So, Prabhupada... this verse, very famous, quoted very often. Akasham patitum toyam. Like that. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defeated the argument, saying that, yes, all the worship goes to Krishna, but not the worshipper. The worshipper doesn't go. Like that. Srila Prabhupada's most acute controversy in Madras was not with the Smartha Brahmanas, Mayavadis or Shaivites, but with some of his own god brothers. Although some of them acknowledged Srila Prabhupada's incomparable preaching in the West on behalf of their spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, others were envious. One envious god brother wrote to Srila Prabhupada as follows in Madras. Reverend Swamiji, I listened to your discourse on bhakti at Rajeshwari Kalyan Mandapam on the 12th instant. I am filled with doubts on the following. Your disciples dance with Hare Krishna mantram. Number one, are they really God intoxicated as Lord Chaitanya? Number two, have you, Swamiji, really got free of your ego? If so, why you said, I challenge? And why words like I and my always on your lips? Number three, why do you use a cushion unlike a real yogi? Did Lord Chaitanya use cushions? Number four, why do you wear ring and a wrist gold watch? Are you not free from material attachment? Number five, did you visit Lord Chaitanya's Krishna temple at Gaudi Mutt? If not, why not? The purest Vaishnava cult is indwelling there with pious Swamijis, with Lord Krishna dwelling therein. Melodious sound from your throat is absent, but a jarring undivine comes out. Is there any divinity in your person? I doubt. One disgusted on hearing your speech. Although Srila Prabhupada was surprised and hurt by the extreme virulence of such a letter, he was accustomed to his god brother's slights and insults. He forbade his disciples, however, to get involved in fights with his god brother. Rather, they should simply avoid them. He said that persons who criticized the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement were useless, and that is that he would push on. The dogs may bark, but the caravan will pass. In contrast to the venomous letter, came a letter from Tridandi Swami, B.B. Puri Maharaj, another of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers. Puri Maharaj, as Prabhupada called him, had a small ashrama in Vishakhapatnam on the Bay of Bengal between Madras and Calcutta. Hearing that Prabhupada was going next to Calcutta, Puri Maharaj invited him to visit. With innumerable satsanga danda, shastanga dandabats at thy lotus feet, I beg to acknowledge the kind letter. The citizens of Vishakhapatnam are very anxious to have the darshan of your holiness. We are exceedingly glad and eager to hear Sankirtana and the divine message from your holy lips. I hope the Sankirtan movement at Madras is attracting thousands of citizens. Again, with dandavas to all the Vaishnavas, I remain Das Sanu Das, B.V. Puri. Like that. So you can just see how Prabhupada's own god brothers are so envious. You know, I told this, some devotees who are new, they can hear this. Once one Swamiji from Gaudi Mutt, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada, his god brother. So Prabhupada offered him prasad. He said, no, I don't, you know, they are Bengali Brahmana. He said, no, I don't want to eat food touched by these Vaishnavas, they are mlechas. And he refused to take prasad and went away. So later on, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that, you know, I need some money, can you send? Prabhupada replied saying that, you know, this money is touched by my Western disciples, how will you take? So he didn't send them. Another time during Vrindavan temple opening, Prabhupada told, when Bhavananda Maharaj, he was the in charge, you know, like that. Then they were not taking prasad, you know, when Bhavananda Maharaj was serving and all. Then Prabhupada told Yashomadinandan Prabhu, you take care. So then Indian devotees were serving. And then when it came to offering dakshana, you know, Prabhupada asked Bhavananda Prabhu, did they take from your hand? Yes, Prabhupada. How? Food they don't want to take, but money? Like that. Vishakhapatnam, February 17, 1972. I met His Holiness B.V. Puri Maharaj many times because I am from Vishakhapatnam. So they have a mutt where I went there, where Prabhupada stayed there and with all his disciples, you know, on the Ramakrishna beach. Now they have renovated the temple and they built a very nice temple. A broad beach of white sparkling sands and the Bay of Bengal's warm, clear waters were special features of Srila Prabhupada's visit to Vishakhapatnam. Puri Maharaj's small ashrama, where Srila Prabhupada stayed, was only 5 minutes from the ocean. And every morning, Prabhupada's entourage of about 15 devotees would take long walks along the seashore. Yamuna. I don't think Prabhupada ever excluded any of us from going with him to the beach. All the devotees knew at which time Srila Prabhupada would be taking his walk. And we would come out from our different quarters and follow him to the seashore. The walks were brisk and refreshing and full of talk about Krishna. Somehow or other, we were all able to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. Gurudasa, I always went on every morning walk. But one time I was sitting in the temple when suddenly I saw Prabhupada and the devotees going towards the beach. I immediately ran out of the temple to join them without even taking time to get my shoes. But there were barnacles and rocks leading down to the beach. When Prabhupada saw me coming, lifting my feet up high, painfully hobbling down the rough road, he looked over and said, "Oh, your feet are hurting. Why aren't you wearing shoes?" And I said, "Prabhupada, when I am with you, I don't feel any pain." Prabhupada stopped and said, "Then why don't you cut your throat?" Everyone laughed and I also laughed. He said, "There is enough tapasya. Why create your own?" You can learn from this. You know, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada, they asked, you know, many devotees, they want to walk bare feet and all that, right? And they do bare feet, you know, Govardhan Parikrama, Vrindavan Parikrama, and whole Vrindavan trip, they don't wear shoes and all that. So this question was put to Prabhupada. Prabhupada in Dham, can we what standard we should have? Can we wear shoes or we should walk without shoes and all? Then Srila Prabhupada said, "Follow your spiritual master." So Prabhupada was wearing shoes. So I tell, you know, there is no need to walk bare feet, and because our aim is not to do all these kinds of tapasya. You know, that's what Prabhupada meant. You know, the greatest tapasya we are doing actually is, you know, distributing Srila Prabhupada books, you know, meeting with non-devotees and trying to convince them Krishna consciousness. That was already a big tapasya, you know, fighting with all these, you know, non-devotees. Then that's why Prabhupada said, why create your own tapasya? You know, there was no need like that. So if some devotees, there was no need actually. So one of our devotees, you know, he was having diabetes and still he walked, you know, bare feet. Then, you know, his foot got hurt. And then it almost came to a point where, you know, it has to be amputated and all that stuff. You know, it's all because of foolishness. You know, there was no need actually. You know, if you cannot walk barefoot, it's no big deal. Because Prabhupada said, you know, why walk? You know, another time Bhaktisiddhanta Damodar Maharaj was coming with Prabhupada. And then it was little cold. Prabhupada told, why you are not wearing, you know, sweater? You know, Prabhupada told, you know, you take care of your health. Because if your body is fit, you can preach more. Like that. Guru Krupa. Prabhupada would talk philosophy on and on. There were many things I could not understand. I would just listen anyway. Although I could not remember anything, I would just hear and hear. But it hadn't registered yet. I used to walk behind him on the beach and I figured that if I can follow his teachings or example yet, at least let me step in his footsteps in the sand. Vishaka, sometimes a dog would try to follow us or would bark at us. We were all surprised to see how Prabhupada would flick his cane and the dog would run away. Once when we passed a cow on the road, Prabhupada gave her ample room to pass and he told us the story of how he had been gored by a cow shortly after he had taken sannyas. Tejas. Once on a morning walk, Prabhupada was speaking about the dog. He gave a reference to the shloka by Chanakya Pandit about the five good qualities of a dog, that is very faithful and satisfied with anything, and soon Prabhupada said, we should be Krishna's dog. He was also speaking about how our pujaris should never be paid. The teacher and the pujari should never receive a salary. Unfortunately, now many of the pujaris are paid. You know, Niskan. They must work in pure devotion. The kshatriya also, he said that was the mistake in government today. He said that was the mistake in government today, that the kshatriyas are being paid. He discussed so many things one after another. Nandakumara, Srila Prabhupada would tell us to go bathe in the ocean, go to the beach, he would say. So one day I asked him, Srila Prabhupada, whenever I go down to the beach, the sun is warm on my body. The water feels so good, the sand, it seems just like a comfortable material situation. How should I understand your reason for asking us to go to the beach? I know the spiritual master never gives the disciple anything that will cause him to become materially attached, but always gives him whatever he needs to remember Krishna. But when I go to the beach, it seems I just enjoy my senses. How can I relate that to Krishna? How can I understand that this instruction is for my spiritual benefit? Prabhupada said, the sun is there, Krishna is the light of the sun. The ocean is there, Krishna is the taste of the water. You are surrounded by Krishna, how can you forget Krishna? He is all around you. Panchajanya, I was a new devotee and asked Prabhupada, what about swimming, Srila Prabhupada? Is it not Maya? Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya used to go swimming all the time. He used to play ball. So you can go and swim. Just make sure you remember Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Damodar was telling me once that Srila Prabhupada told him to go to the ocean. Because if your mind is disturbed, you go to the ocean, then your mind will become all right. Right? Because the ocean is the conglomerate of all the tirthas. Because all the oceans, they join the all the rivers, they join the ocean. So like that. So taking bath in the ocean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anybody who takes bath in the Puri, in the Bay of Bengal, they will get love of Krishna. But once some disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they went to take bath in the ocean in Puri, and they were almost drowned, and some fishermen, they saved them. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to know, he chastised them. Oh, you went there to burn your sinful reactions? Want to become pious? Like that. He told them, there is no need. Like that. So, very dangerous also. Sometimes we have to be careful. Puri Maharaj's ashram was a simple single-story building of about 8 rooms. When he offered Prabhupada a room next to his own, Prabhupada was pleased, accepting it as an expression of friendship. Prabhupada relaxed with his godbrothers, Puri Maharaj and Ananda Brahmachari, speaking with them in Bengali. Puri Maharaj said he appreciated Prabhupada's work and his Western disciples. Prabhupada's disciples had already seen formal exchanges of obeisances between Prabhupada and his godbrothers. As when in Bombay, they had seen Prabhupada get up his Vyasasana and offer dandavats to his godbrothers. But in Vishakhapatnam, they saw more intimate dealings. They saw for the first time Srila Prabhupada living comfortably at ease in the same quarters as his godbrothers. And they didn't feel themselves being treated condescendingly or superficially or being regarded as oddities. Through Prabhupada's guidance, they began to learn more of the essential, friendly and humble exchanges between Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's godbrother Ananda was eager to cook and serve not only Srila Prabhupada but all his disciples. Ananda was elderly and he took the position of always offering menial service. Although he spoke very little English, Prabhupada's disciples could perceive the affection of Ananda and Srila Prabhupada for each other. Ananda's communication with Prabhupada's disciples was particularly through his cooking and serving the prasadam. Each morning, everyone would gather on the veranda outside Prabhupada's quarters. The men sitting on one side, the ladies on the other. Down the center aisle, Ananda would walk briskly, distributing prasadam. While Prabhupada sat at one end in wooden chair, fingering his japa beads and observing the devotees take prasadam. Prabhupada had supplied money to the ashrama and Ananda was regularly cooking sumptuous feasts. Deep fried chunks of potatoes in powdered spices, rice, yogurt, dal, 3 different types of sabjis, French fries, chutney, malpuva, rajkeli, sandesha, kshira and everything cooked to a nectarian standard of excellence. Today is Ekadasi. Prabhupada was seated at the head of the 2 rows of the devotees and encouraged them to take prasadam. Give him more. Prabhupada would praise Ananda's cooking, smiling with pleasure to see his disciples accept prasadam. The devotees would finish having been induced to eat as much as they possibly could. And Srila Prabhupada would say loud the premadvani. Then all the devotees would shout in response, Jaya! After one such feast, Prabhupada called the devotees into his room and remarked, see how he is cooking? He cooks everything. He serves it. Then he doesn't eat until everyone is fully satisfied. This is Vaishnava. How he should act? He is more satisfied to serve than to enjoy himself. The feast continued twice a day and in the evening many guests arrived to take prasadam, chant in kirtanas and hear Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Srila Prabhupada said, one of the devotees, my godbrother, B.V. Puri Maharaj, is one of them who is not envious of him. And they had a very warm, very warm relationship with B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, like that. So once they published, some scandal happened in Japan, and they published in their Gaudiya, their magazine, criticizing ISKCON. Prabhupada told what they are doing, nobody writes about them, because in Japan newspapers they have written, nobody writes about them because they are not doing anything. Because we are doing something, we may commit mistakes. That's why they are writing about us. Like that. So Prabhupada said, don't care, we should do something. When we do something big, this kind of things may happen. When there is a money involved, some scandal definitely happen. It doesn't mean that we'll stop, doing preaching. We should rectify and go ahead. Like that. Once Srila Prabhupada was attending some mela in Amritsar. All the Mayavadis, they gathered. Like that. And then Prabhupada was disgusted, they were all the time arguing, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, and all that. So Prabhupada left and then he was sitting in his cabin. Then meanwhile, some devotee cooked very nice hot gulab jamuns. So they brought. And then Prabhupada said, let these fools and rascals argue, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. Let us enjoy Krishna Prasad. Then he took a gulab jamun and popped it in his mouth. This is Krishna for us. So Prabhupada always encouraged, Jayadvaita Maharaj was saying, for us Ekadasi means big feast. We are supposed to fast, but Ekadasi is so many items. One life member, he was saying, he went to Delhi temple. And Ekadasi, 10 course feast. That is ISKCON, One day Srila Prabhupada took his disciples to see a famous temple of Lord Narsingha, Sri Simhachalam, on top of a hill, about 5 miles north of Vishakhapatnam. Thousands of stone steps led up the hill to the temple, which was situated in a natural amphitheater on the side of the hill. Prabhupada said, the temple, which was now run by the followers of Ramanuja sect, was particularly important because Lord Chaitanya has visited there on his tour of South India. Srila Prabhupada chose to approach the temple by car, riding up the winding road past orchards of mango, jackfruits and cashew, and fields of pineapple. On arriving at the temple, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples met one of the temple brahmanas who showed them around the grounds. The temple buildings were of black granite and carved into the rock were the forms and pastimes of Vishnu, especially in his incarnation of Lord Nrisimhadev. As Prabhupada moved from place to place, building to building, he sometimes rode up steep stairs on a palanquin carried by 4 men. When Prabhupada came upon an immense banyan tree at the lower end of the temple grounds, he said that the tree must be thousands of years old. As he stood beneath the tree, his servant Nandakumara handed him a small champaka flower, extending his thumb and forefinger from his bead bag. Prabhupada held the champaka flower and looked fondly at it. This flower, he said, is the color of Lord Chaitanya. And this flower is the most loved all over India. This flower is beautiful to look at and beautiful to smell. He carried the small saffron gold flower between his fingers throughout the rest of the morning. After reading this only, we started offering, during Mangalarti, we offer these flowers in the plate. Previously, they used to offer, some yellow flower, that Genda. So I thought, Prabhupada liked it so much, so and then the color resembles Lord Chaitanya's color. So we started offering. And they are very, in Andhra, everybody prefers. They make garlands of this, you know, champa flowers. And they offer to the Lord, and it is a common flower there. You know, very nice fragrance. If you go to the temples, now all fragrance, you know, jasmine flowers and this champaka flowers, like that. Right. This deity, Vishakhapatnam, near to the Vishakhapatnam, on the hill, it's called Varaha Narasingha Dev. It is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord, you know, because before Lord Narasingha appeared, he appeared as Varaha to kill Hiranyaksha. So Lord, he said he wanted to see the Lord's Varaha form. Then the Lord very kindly agreed. Then he showed both the combination of this. So that's why he is known as Varaha Narasingha. You know, Varaha Narasingha Kshetra. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited this place. And then he offered a prayer. That famous prayer is there. Just like a lioness is very fearful to her enemies, but is very affectionate towards her cubs. In the same way, Lord Narasingadev is very fearful to his enemies, but is very affectionate towards devotees. Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this verse. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this Varaha Narasingadev, he appeared in the dream of the king, and he told that, I am feeling very hot. Apply chandan every day. So every day they offer chandan, you know, they put chandan to the deity. And many people, they think that it is, because when they appear, you know, it looks like a Shivalinga. So they think that it is a Shivalinga. But on Akshaya Tritiya day, only once in a year, they take out that chandan and show the real form of Varaha Narasingha Dev. And lakhs of people come to have darshan of Varaha Narasingha Dev in his original form on Akshaya Tritiya day. And a huge festival is there. Like that. There is one very famous king of Vijayanagar, Krishna Dev Rai. He offered a lot of jewelry and the land to the Varaha Narasingha Dev deity. And his inscriptions also are there. Very famous temple in Vizag. Should I stop? Okay. Shila Prabha Lila Amrita Ki. Hare Krishna.